Thank you very much, Rishus the Shashiva, Kvayd Menal, Rabbi Mirsky. So the Baal Shem Tov says that you will notice you were never in a place, and it happens to me all the time, and suddenly you're there for whatever reason, and a week later you're back to the same place. You were never on this street, and for whatever reason, a week later you come back, or 2 weeks later, like, I was never here, or I never heard of someone. And a friend mentions, you know, I have a friend so-and-so. I don't know who he is. And then 2 weeks later, someone else mentions that same person for a totally different reason. And you're saying, it's funny, I never heard of the guy, and now I'm hearing about him twice. And that's because the Rabban Hashem is reminding you that whatever we hear, wherever we are, there's a reason. There's a place to be there. So, I don't know how many of you have ever flown to Australia. Anyone? Did? Okay. You live there?
No, I haven't.
Yeah. So it's one of the things, unless you have family there, you do once. Okay. It's basically 24 hours if you're lucky. And if you're a shlemazel like me that misses connecting flights, it's 48 hours. But then again, I wouldn't have stories if I got to places on time. I said I was in a mikveh in Yerushalayim, Rechav Chana, and I am totally confused when it comes to money. I was really not good at math. I basically flunked every math test, every regent, except for one that was sitting next to a very kind Shachan Taif. No, just kidding. Another story, a Rebbe once said to a kid, how could you cheat? He said, I didn't cheat. You always get a 30 on your test, and now you got a 90, and you happen to be sitting next to the best boy, and the one answer he didn't know, you didn't know, and you're telling me you didn't cheat? How do you explain all of these sets of circumstances? He said, Hashgacha Pratis, okay? You teach us Hashgacha Pratis, so why are you accusing me? You're supposed to be down people to Kav Schos. I know, but the one answer that the best boy said, he wrote, I don't know, and you wrote, I don't either. Okay, that was the point. So math was never my thing. I get confused. I'm stunned when things. We want to come to. If you give me time, I can figure things out. But on the cuff, that's how I am. My brain goes into. I go into brain freeze. Even when I take change, I'm like counting the change. I'm literally counting the. I'm counting the change. I'm not really counting the change. I make believe like it is. And so I'm in the mikveh in Yerushalayim, and I have no clue what's going on. There's agurot and shekels, and there's cash money and coin money, and it's 10 shekel, another 2 to rent a towel. That's how it goes over there. And I put the coin in, it keeps coming out, and people behind me are getting impatient, and this person behind me is laughing at me. And finally I turn around to him, and I said, you know, instead of laughing, how's about helping me? So he says, what are you trying to do? He says, what do you think I'm trying to do? Trying to go through the turnstile and get into the mikveh. So he says, it says 10 shekel, and I'm putting in 10 shekel, and it just, coin rolls out. He said, you're putting in 10 agurot. You're not putting in 10 shekel. I said, oh, I don't know, it says 10 on it. How should I know? I said, what can you get for an agurot? He said, give it to one of the collectors by the kaisel, and you'll see what you'll get for an agurot. So, fine, he puts it in, and the door opens up, and everything is good. And he walks by, and he says, I just want to tell you, I wasn't laughing because I was making fun of you. I said, no, it's okay, I'm good with it. No. But why were you laughing? He says, I'm just watching you putting coins in and coins coming out. I said, I see, could be your stories are true. I never believe them. But I'm actually seeing. So, like, money was never like my thing. When it comes to money, I just wasn't there. But I said to myself, you know, he's right. If I didn't have this handicap, I wouldn't have most of our stories. And really, the Indian Rashiva said about a Chodesh Azel Lechem Roish Chadashim, that the moon is constantly changing. It's constantly being diminished, and it's constantly going back into place from completely different angles. And if you try to learn the Rambam Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, you see that it's not just down 15 days and up 15 days. It changes throughout the year. And if you learn the sugyas and the Sechus Rosh Hashanah, where the position of the moon is, and never mind going into all the mazalos and the merechas hamazalos, and the Rabban Hashem has a plan for trillions and trillions of stars and trillions and trillions, just much more than that. Quadrillions. I never knew there's something really called a quadrillion until once I was trying to donate tzedakah and on the phone, I was talking to a computer, and the computer said, "You donated 6 quadrillion, 4 trillion, 3 million, 200." I said, "I did what?" Then I realized when they asked me for the amount, again being absent-minded, I put in my 16-digit credit card number instead of the amount. But I learned that there is a quadrillion. But whatever amount of stars there are in the world, or whatever amount of whatever the Merechas Hashemayim is and the Mazalos, it's beyond, right? Hayochel Lisper Kechaver. And each one has to be in its place. And if one of them would not be in its place, whatever the magnetic forces are that the Rebbeinu Shlom put into the Bria, that the world should turn the way it is, and planets should orbit, and we should exist, the entire world would cease to exist. And the Rebbeinu Shlom says, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem. What I'm doing for the moons and the stars, I'm doing to you as individuals. Where you are in your life now, you're not here in this Makom Torah by chance. You're not sitting by this Rish Chodesh Suda by chance. You're not by your Rebbeim by chance. From Har Sinai, the Maral says that Rabban Hashem didn't give us the Torah in Har Sinai until that Kadosh Baruch Hu saw every single Yid, until Mashiach comes. Exactly who you are, where you're going to learn from, who you're going to be Makabel from, who you're going to be Mashpia from. Just like the stars are in place, and they can't be off by a millimeter, or else the world as we know it would cease to exist. Same is true for really every single one of us. So I'm flying to Australia, and after like who knows how many hours and hours and hours and hours and hours, they land in Brisbane instead of Sydney, where I was supposed to have a connecting flight, because there was a storm. And the pilot even announced that normally he would just circle the airport until he could land in Sydney, but he can't. There's a storm in Sydney, and after 17 hours, they have the 747 has used up its amount of fuel. Some information I wish the pilot would keep to himself, but anyway, we landed in Brisbane. And they said, "We're going to be here for 3 hours. Brisbane is a city in northern Australia where people go up to warm up. They go to the north to warm up. And I said, "That's it, sit on the plane for 3 hours. And there was a fellow behind me, a local, and he was so excited. He said, "I live in Brisbane. I live in Brisbane." He said, "I thought I'm going to Sydney and I have to take a connecting flight. And here I am," right? He didn't use the word Ashgacha Pratis, and he landed in Brisbane and he's getting his overhead. He's getting old. He's all. And the stewardess says, "Sit down, sir." He goes, "No, I live here." And he even points. He points. He saw some houses in the distance. He says he lives in that area. And she says, "You're not getting off this plane. Because according to the Australian aviation laws, as it is, I found out in most countries, you cannot get off by an unscheduled stop." And he exploded. He exploded. And he's screaming. I had to call security to hold him down. He said, "Are you telling me that I'm going to sit here for 3 hours, look at my house, and you're going to make me fly away to the other side of Australia to miss a connecting flight to get back here tomorrow night? Because you won't let me off this plane?" Between this and plane, there were some other adjectives that he used, which I will omit at this point. They didn't let him off the plane. So I said to my wife, I said, "What would a frum person do under these circumstances?" She told me a frum person would figure out how to get off that plane. Trust me. Call this asking, that asking. So I said, "No." I said, "Sometimes we're in a place and we don't know why we're here. And sometimes the Rebbeinu Shlom has to show us that. I'm here. I'm here already. Why can't I do what I'm supposed to do?" And it's a lesson in life that even when you're here and you know what you're supposed to do, you don't really know why you're there. Hashem etzadei gever kainanu v'darka yechbatz. You're here because of Chodesh Hazeh Lachem. What the Rebbeinu Shlom does for Chodashim, the Rebbeinu Shlom does for you. It's true where you are physically. It's true where you are in your ruchnius. It's true where you are emotionally. They say they once asked the famous explorer Daniel Boone, "Were you ever lost?" He said he was never lost. There were times he was disoriented for a couple of weeks, but he was never actually lost. But he meant to say that he had the exploring spirit. He said so like it gave him a chance. His getting lost gave him a chance to explore things even more. So there's a story that's told that there were these two schemsters, scammers, scums, whatever you want to call them, on the outside, but on the inside everyone is good. And they were looking for a quick way to make a parnasa. So one of them bought a shtreimel and what's called a pels, and that's the fur collar, and he's the rebbe. And the other one is the gabbai. And they came to towns, and they hung up lights, and they said, "Tzadik Balir, the rebbe is coming," and people came for brachas, and the gate began, and he's dishing out brachas right and left. And at one point, but you know, people are coming, they're going to little towns, people are asking for brachas, their cow should give milk, that the chicken should lay eggs, and this is... So finally, they come to a place, and the Rosh HaKol of this little town says, I want a bracha for a child. I want a bracha for a child. And the guy says, oh, I'm not messing with that. That's like too complicated. No, I want a bracha for a child. He says, I'm not letting the Rebbe go till you promise me a child. He says, let's get out of here. And he goes, let's promise him a child. What do you care? So he's like, okay, you'll have a child. You know, like whatever it was. And the two of them left. And they continued on. They quickly left. And they got to Lublin, where the Heilig Chaiser was, and they took off their costumes and they slept underneath the bench someplace. And the Rebbe sent his gabbai. He said, there's two people sleeping under the bench, get them. And they walked in, and the gabbai said, the Rebbe wants you. And they said, uh-oh. They tried to make a beeline for the door. They were quickly tackled and taken to the Rebbe. And the Rebbe said, I want to ask you something, okay? The man you promised the child is going to have a child. But I gave him brachas so many years. It didn't work. But what happened was, you looked up to the Rabbanu Shalom at that moment, and you said, Rabbanu Shalom, I know who I am. I'm a liar. I'm a ganav. I'm an imposter. But I'm stuck. Help me. And the Shemayim, they had a good smile. Because it was so real. It was so sincere what you said, that your bracha was actually fulfilled. He just said to the two, the Rebbe just said to the two, tell me, who was the Rebbe and who was the Gabbai? And they said, well, if the Rebbe doesn't know, maybe it's better that way, and they both left. But there is that moment in our lives where it's the least likely moment in your ruchnius even, that you would think that Rabbi Hashem is going to answer my tefillah. And sometimes that is the most likely moment. But the trick is you have to believe, achadish ezeh lechem reish chadashim. You have to believe that I am where I am. So Rav Tzadik says a profound thought, and many say it's controversial, but I think that the idea, the person does tshuva me'ahava, his aveirois become mitzvahs. What's the mitzvah? Which one of the tarig mitzvahs? Which one of the tarig mitzvahs? I did an aveira, I wore shakness. I did tshuva me'ahava, the aveira becomes a mitzvah. Where is the mitzvah? So he says that be etzem, whatever happens in the life of a person is the Ratzon Hashem. Whatever happens is the Ratzon Hashem. Nothing happens, even tragedies, things that we don't understand, that we can't possibly understand. But nothing happens unless it's the Ratzon Hashem. Even through a Baal Bechira, even though it's a Sugya Amuka, but Lamaisa, even through a Baal Bechira, as clearly as the Shita of the Chinuch, who says when it comes to Nekama, why, how can a person not harbor any hatred? Because you have to believe that Min HaShemayim, the guy came and pushed you down the stairs. If it wasn't Beshef, you'd have rolled down the stairs. It wouldn't have happened. It had to happen. So it has nothing to do with him. He was just a shliach. Now, does that mean he's absolved? Of course not. Sefer Shmir Saloshin says again and again, he takes the position that even with a Baal Bechira, whatever had to happen has to happen. But it doesn't take away the responsibility of the Baal Bechira of what he has to do. So even if a person did an Aveira, the Aveira had to happen. Now, Kaloimra Kadosh Baruch Hu Vatran Hu Vatran L'chayev. There's Malkus and there's Dalit Mises Bez and Nafal Pisha didn't bottle. They don't get away. No one gets away with nothing. It's not a terror. It's well Hashem. It was meant to be. It's not going to work. But if a person really does Tshuva Me'ahava, says Rav Tzadik, and you really, really mean it, and it can't be, of course, Ech Devash. If I did the Aveira thing, I'll do Tshuva Me'ahava, I'll even get brownie points for a mitzvah. That's not going to work. Be Amos speaking. But if a person really does tshuva me'ahava, so Hashem says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do for you. L'maisa, what had to happen was the Ratzon Hashem. And because you've reached the level of tshuva me'ahava, then you should know you're getting rewarded for fulfilling the Ratzon Hashem. Ah, tshuva me'ahava. You know what tshuva me'ahava is? Look at the Rebbeinu Yoim. You know what Tshuva Me'ahava is? Tshuva Ilah, Tshuva Titah, some say this. The rest say for Reshus Chachma. I mean, who today could be Zaycha to Tshuva Me'ahava? Halavai Tshuva Me'ira. Says the Rebbe in the Divra Yayo, you walk on the street today. And you don't have to walk in the street. But just to deal with the Nesiyonis that we have around us, that a Bachar has on a day-to-day basis, any effort that you make at Shmira Sinayim, any effort that you make to close whatever apparatus is in your pocket, and I'm going to focus on this black Gemara, is tshuva me'ahava. Bizman hazeh, it's tshuva me'ahava. Because yira doesn't do it. It doesn't do it. The taivas are so strong. Remember, I was dealing with a kid that was struggling, and we got him out. He was arrested, and we got him out. And the day we got out, we went for a Shabbaton someplace, and again, he was arrested for drag racing at 160 miles an hour on the Pennsylvania Turnpike. He said to him, "But you know what happened to you the first time. Why did you do this?" And he looked at me, and he said, "You're better?" I said, "I never drag raced, I promise you. When I drive, people are beeping behind me." He said, "But did you ever eat a piece of cake when the doctor said, blood pressure, cholesterol, sugar?" He goes, "Yeah." I said, "Well, I drag race." Right? We live in a time that our taiva, it doesn't, the yira doesn't stop us. It just doesn't. Because the taivas are so strong. So therefore, any effort that a person makes to contain himself, to maintain a level of kedusha around him, if yira is not stopping you, what is stopping you? Because in your heart of hearts, you know there's a bayri olam on the world. In your heart of hearts, you know that there's a rabbi nishal olam on the world. So we're all that rebbe. At one point, I'm sitting over here, and you know what? I feel like a fake and a phony and a fraud. What am I doing? I'm struggling with my emunah, and I'm trying to learn. It doesn't make sense. And you call out and you say, "Rabbeinu Shalom, help me. Help me. I'm struggling." And the Rabbeinu Shalom says, "Your brachas are being fulfilled. And if it's being fulfilled for others, it's being fulfilled for yourself." V'gam ani shemati es nakas b'nei Yisrael. A naka is an inner cry. Nakas cholo, the pasuk says, in Zechariah. It's a cry that a person says, it's a death throw, it's a death cry. It's not a cry that a person makes al pi cheshbon. You know, we cry for different reasons. Cry because we want to generate pity, we cry because we want to, well, we all cry for different reasons. I always say that I was in a camp in the summer, and it was Sunday morning. I sat down by a picnic table to learn after Shachar, so I was going to have my ride home. And this kid comes and he dumps his laundry bag right by my feet. I said, "Okay, ikus of the Mashiach, chutz b'yazim." Next kid comes and does it. I said, did I say something wrong over Shabbos? Dirty laundry. The next kid that comes and does it, I say to him, "Well, you tell me why you're putting your dirty laundry here?" He said, "It's before the 9 days, and we pack. We a truck is supposed to come to take the laundry." So I said, "Oh, okay. So it's not personal. Great." And this truck comes, and two Mexican gentlemen get out. And they say that they load everything into the truck and they barely get the door closed. And they come over to me, "Boss, sign." I said, "I'm not boss and I'm not signing." "No, just sign easy. It's easier to sign." "I know it's easy to sign. I'm not signing." That question isn't whether it's easy to sign or not. So they were very upset. They got into their truck and they drove off. And I see this kid. This kid is running. He's running with his thing. And he goes, "Stop the truck, stop them." I said, "How am I supposed to stop the truck?" I said, "The truck left." And in anger, he turns over his duffel bag with the laundry onto the wet grass, throws himself onto the floor, starts kicking and screaming, and he says it's his Rebbe's fault, it's his counselor's fault, it's his teacher's fault, it's his mother's fault, it's his nursery. He goes through all the avoinus of Peshoim HaKadoim that happened to him from day one. He gets Chazoris Hashir. Shinoan, from Shalom Bayis perspective, when you get married, you will also experience that once. You will get Chazoris sometimes on... Goes through everything. The kid is screaming and yelling. His kids hate him and he's being bullied. And blah, 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 blah. I felt so bad for this kid. I said, "You know what? After Shacharis, I'm going to ask the head counselor permission. And if he gives me permission, I'll drive you into town." And the kid says, "No, but it's too late. My laundry's on the floor." You put it onto the floor. You know what I mean? I said, "We'll pick it up." He's screaming and yelling and then this is his whole life. And his sister stole his room in his house. And then his father hits him. And then the truck comes back. They get out, and they're angry at me. Their boss sent them back because they didn't have a signature. "You see, I didn't sign, and I caused them all this headache." I said, "I'm not signing." I said, "You know what, there's the manager of the camp. Go to him, tell him to sign." And I turn around to the kid and I say, "Put your laundry into the truck. The truck is here. Put your laundry in the truck." And no, it's too late. Everything is happening to me. And he's crying away, and it's like I couldn't get him to put it in the truck. And then this kid wanders out from his bunk. You know that kid that comes after everything is done? Smiling, doesn't have a daig in the world, totally aloof from time. Lamailam and Azmani staring at squirrels and studying the birds. comes over to me, goes, the truck came already? I said, truck came, truck left, truck came. Here it is. He opens up the back door, all the laundry bags come rolling out. And the two Mexicans come back and they say, what did you do? What did you do? We're not taking your bag. He goes, you know which bag is mine? They say, no. He says, bye. He thinks so. So I meet the kid after, I call him back and I say to him, tell me, what were you thinking? He doesn't know. Someone stole his watch. And, you know, the Rebbe, whatever. The Rebbe kept it late because he opened the soda. Spritz, he's laughing. And, like, and basically he's telling me the same story the first kid said. And I'm saying to myself, okay, here are two kids with the same story. And one is crying, and one says, this is who I am. Okay, it just happens to me. So I'll pick up the pieces. And that is the greatest bracha in life. If you want to blame, right? Acher is, Rav Meir is following Acher, says the Gemara in Chagiga, and Acher is on a donkey, and it's Shabbos, and Rav Meir is asking him questions, and at one point Acher says, no, don't go anymore, it's the Tchum. So he says, Rebbe, what about you? He says, he heard a baskel that said, Shuv Ibonim Shaivavim, Chutz me'achar. So the Gemara says he shouldn't have listened because kol ma'asham loch balabai sasei chutz me'tzei. So I heard a taich shuvi bonim shevavim. The Eibishter says I'll accept any tshuva chutz me'achar, except for someone who blames his problems on someone else. You take responsibility. This is who I am. I got myself into this rut. Hashem, get me out of it. I am an imposter. I put on a coat that doesn't belong to me. But this guy needs a bracha. Help me. The Rabbeinu Shel Olam listens to those brachas. So, Alolu Avdei Avodah Zarah, Alolu Avdei Avodah Zarah, Alolu Avdei Avodah Zarah, even though it doesn't mean mamish, Avodah Zarah, like the Maral says, but chinus of Avodah Zarah had connected themselves, attached themselves to them. So the Yevishah says, V'gama ni shemati. There are certain things that I hear. The Satan Tainid, hey, the Avdei Avodah Zarah, and the Rabbeinu Shem says, no, says the Rechaim HaKadosh. I hear a cry. I hear a cry where he says, look, I blew it. So help me now at this given moment. And at this given moment, all the stars in heaven are there. And there's the mazel of the month of Shvat is a deli, is a bucket. As I stated in the Sefer Yetzir. What is the significance of a bucket? So the B'nai Yisrael says that a bucket has to go down to draw water. And in order to be matzliach in Torah, you have to have Ein Adam Oymed Al Dover El In Kay Nichshol Batchil. There has to be, you got to open up the Gemara. The Gemara is not there for you yet. The Gemara says, wait a second, I'm not letting you come in so easy. It takes time. It takes effort. And you have to persevere. And even if you have no cheshek, you have to push on. And if you don't understand, you have to push on and pick things up. You're like a bucket that's going down, down, down. And you feel, what's the point? I'm going down, down, down. And suddenly you realize that in all your efforts, which appear to be failure, it fills up. It fills up. Eliezer, who was an Eved, was doyle umashkoi mitoyres rabbi liacher. He said, I'm an Eved. I'm a chlal orer. He said, okay, but this is my matzav. This is who I am. I'm an Eved of Avram. He doesn't even want you. He sends me to be the shadchan and I'm not the shidduch. But Eliezer accepts it and says, this was emes. And that's exactly why he was yoitze michlal orer lechlal baruch. Eventually, some say the Zohar says Eliezer became the malach matat, the highest malach. He went up to Eliezer to Gan Eden. Why? Because he could have taken, what an ultimate insult of Avram Avinu. You took me to fight the four kings. I could have been killed 30 times. I'm your most loyal person. And I'm not good enough for a shidduch. I was rejected for a shidduch. Eliezer accepts it. He's doyle umashka mitaris rabbi lacherim. He goes down to come up. Goes down to come up. Then the madregas that Eliezer was zoichetu, almost no one was zoichetu. And that was, says the B'nai Sosche, V'hoya nara sha'omer le'ahatino kadech, hiya isha shechiyach Hashem le'ben adayni. That means, the one that says, when things aren't going my way, lift, that is the person. B'mes, it says, Chedush Yerim says, on Rosh Chodesh Shvat, the Pasuk says, B'mesh Rebbeinu wrote down Kol HaTorah Kula, B'shtei Yosser B'echad L'chodesh. And he wrote it B'shivim L'shoinos. And then they covered it. They go to Machlokes in the Gemara, what they did with those stones. Some say they covered it, B'sid, if the Umas Island want to come and lift it, they're going to learn about the Torah. Umas Olam will come and lift it. I mean, imagine, you know, come and lift the stone and see a bunch of writings on the stone. And I'm going to know Kol HaTorah Kula. I'll walk away with a Ketzos. What are the Umas Olam going to do with me? The Chiddush Erin says it doesn't mean Umas Olam. I mean, it means Umas Olam, but I'll be drush. It means when you're totally gone, you feel like I have no shaychus to Yahadus. I'm being pulled in all different directions. So Moshe Rabbeinu says the Torah is there for you. We wrote over the Torah in all different Lashonis. And when they said to Yisroi, Doloi, Dololonu, this Moshe Rabbeinu went all the way down, 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 he said, Loma Zez, Aftanis Ish, That's it. That's Torah, when you're willing to go down. Ish is gematria shvat, says the Bnei Yisrael. The shevet that corresponds to shvat is the shevet of Asher. There's a kolboy that says, I remember we discussed it with Rav Asher over here, Asher shmein alachmoy. It says a person that learns Mishnayis, Asher stands there and doesn't let him go into Gehenna. Takes him into Gehenna. Shmeina is a lashon of Mishnah. He says Asher is Shem and Zayis. Asher is, even when things are dark, it's the Mashgiach Zechel Levracha said, Serach Bas Asher was the one who gave the news to Yaakov even before the news was there, even before Yaakov was still in a matzav of Avelus. Asher says, hey, even though we're on the way down, I'm telling you, Yosef is alive. He's coming out of Mitzrayim. There is life. It's going. You know, I was in Switzerland last year before Pesach. It's a very interesting experience. The first time I actually went to a country where I don't speak the language. Either at Israel, or usually went to Anglo-Saxon countries, Australia, England, Canada, and here I am. I don't speak the language. I don't speak the language. Well, most foreign countries I went to, in Williamsburg, I speak the language. I speak English, right? The guy that said when Obama was elected, he said he's moving to Muncie. That's it. He can't be under this. So here I am. I'm in Switzerland and I'm by a dinner and they announce me. And I have no clue what the guy is saying because he's speaking Swiss Deutsch. And I hear my name. So I guess that means my cue to go on. What language I was supposed to speak? I don't know, English, Yiddish, or someone that was supposed to figure it out. So I said, I never had this experience. I have no clue what this person said. For all I know, this MC said, listen, we fell in with this meshugana, this sedreita, this egoistic, I'm like, just let him speak and he'll send him home. Let's get official. I don't know what he said. But when I heard my name, I knew my name. My name is my name in all languages. It doesn't make a difference where you are. Your name is your name in all different languages. So I was there, I was in Zurich, on the day that there was a terrible stabbing of an Ingerman, and the place was, so they asked me to go around to different schools and talk, not that I know what to say, so they went around to the boys' schools and the girls' schools, and the older kids and the younger kids, the person that brought me out to the dinner was upset. He said, by the time we get to the dinner, you're going to be knocked out. He said, I'm not letting you stay here in Zurich overnight, sending you up to the Swiss Alps for the night. I said, this way I know that's it. You'll dash into the snow. He put me into a car and he sent me up to Davos, to the Swiss mountains, and I went for a walk with my wife, one night vacation in the Swiss mountains, and I missed Mincha in the hotel. I'm not good with math, I couldn't figure out the 700, I could go with the 24 hours. So I said, you know, let me go out and see where. You think this is Shomer Shabbos here? You think it's the Shtiebel? You're in Davos. I said, you never know. So I walk out and I see these two Hasidic Shabbachim walking with skis on their shoulder. I said, I think a story's coming. And I went over to them and I said, you guys are, we have like this quasi yeshiva over here. I said, great. Actually, it's a very good yeshiva. Found out later. And I went there. And it was very special. It was really, really very, very special. It was a special experience. It was such an experience you can't imagine. And I said, come on, tell us a story. I said, I can't, Rosh Hashiva. I can't just come and say a story. So here I am. I'm sitting there. And I for supper, I come back after Mincha. I say, believe it or not, I found a minyan for Mincha. And I start eating. I didn't put the first thing into my mouth. And then someone taps me on the shoulder. It turns around, a man with a white beard. He says, I'm the Rosh Hashiva. I heard you said the Rosh Hashiva has to invite you. Well, I'm inviting you. And I was there. I was there at 11. It's about 11 o'clock after night. Seder is a good time, and I was there. And the Bachan came over, and we schmoozed, and we walked back and forth, and they're talking about what life is around there, and where they are, and it was really very, very special. And at one point, this Bachan told me that a kid showed up from a different yeshiva, and he was there for a short while. He was doing whatever. He had a phone and he wasn't doing the right things with it, to say the least. And they said to him, he says, you know, I never was in this environment, totally cut off, and there's so much learning going on here. So one of the other boys said, so get rid of it. Get rid of it. It's going to be in your pocket. It's going to open up. Get rid of it. So he said, I once did. That's what the boys told me. I once did. And no one believed me that I got rid of it. They thought I'm hiding it someplace. My principal in high school, he really had problems then, said, no, where are you hiding it? I'm so frustrated. He said, so now you'll get rid of it in front of us. And they said, follow us. And we went for a walk. The boy who did it is not there anymore. He went for a walk, and we along a river. Try to, it's like a half frozen river in Davos, 3 o'clock in the morning in Switzerland. And he moves away some of the brushing, and wedged in between two rocks is his phone. He said, I'm looking at the wrong things, I'm doing the wrong things, I have these, whatever. He wasn't even in that yeshiva. They allowed him to come for 2-3 weeks just to get a feel. And he says, I feel I got to make a move. And I'm looking at this phone, and I'm starting to cry, and I'm saying, you know, Achaydish Azelechem Reish Chadash. Rabban Hashem looks at this world. He sees all of you, sees all of us. He sees your nesiyonos. He sees your challenges, sees where you are. He sees a phone somewhere right now in Switzerland underneath the water, wedged in between two rocks. And the Rebbeinu says, do you understand? Do you understand the mysterious nefesh of Klal Yisrael? Do you understand that where they are, how they are? And that's Shvat. The Chiddush Erim said he can tell on the Torah that someone writes from after Rosh Chodesh Shvat beforehand. Because Shvat represents Torah with mysterious nefesh. From Shvat until Shavuos, the Rebbeinu Chaim said there are no 2 weeks without a Yom Tov. It's Rosh Chodesh Shvat, Chamishas B'Shvat, Rosh Chodesh Nisan, Pesach Sheini, Lag Ba'omer Shavuos. He says Shvat is the beginning of Kabbalah Satayra. But Shvat is when the bucket is on the way down. You could say, I missed it. The bucket is on the way down. You could say, it's game over. You could be that kid that's kicking. Or you could say, you know what? I am who I am. This is it. I'm going down, but it's going to be an opportunity to be Doyla Umashka Mitoiris Rabbi Lacherim. And let me conclude with a good vart from Carlos. Carlos is the gentleman who cleans by us in the yeshiva. And I came to him after the election. I said, who did you vote for? He said, I voted for Trump. I said, why did you vote for Trump? Aren't your skids going to send you back to Mexico? He says, no, Trump's going to make a wall. He won't be able to send me back to Mexico. And I said to him, the logic is not warped. It's good logic. You can look at a wall in two ways. It's either going to lock me out or it's going to lock me in. If this is where the Rebbeinu Hashem put me, then here's my bracha and here's my etzlacha. Good luchaydish. Thank you.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.